This is Biotechnica, and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
73 years ago, on a Thursday morning in August 1945, while following the bomber planes, he noticed them taking an unusual route towards the center of the city. As soon as he sat down for work in the factory, 7.5 miles away from Nagasaki, Japan, a powerful flash of light came through the small windows. All were briefly blinded for about 30 seconds. And then, about 40 seconds after the flash, a loud sound and a sudden change of air pressure followed. There was a huge explosion somewhere, but no one knew where. And this was the atomic bomb being dropped on Nagasaki. Hello friends, I am Dr. Pallavi, and this incident, which I just mentioned, was from the life of Dr. Osamu Shimomura, a Nobel laureate in chemistry, whom we are going to remember today. Behind this great scientist and his scientific discovery, it's a fascinating story which should be told definitely. Osamu Shimomura was born on August 27, 1928 in Kyoto, Japan, and his childhood and education both were fractured by World War II. In 1945, he was 16 and was living in Nagasaki, Japan, when the city was bombed. After the explosion, the sky was filled with dark clouds, which was soon followed by black rain. By the time Shimomura arrived home, his white shirt had turned completely grey. His grandmother made him clean up immediately, and he credits her and that bath for saving his life from radiation-related illness. If that day he had suffered or not survived because of those radiations, then today modern chemistry and medicine would have been completely different. He graduated from high school at the age of 16, but without any ceremonies or any diplomas, and that too at a factory where his class had been sent to repair aircraft engines. After the war, he repeatedly tried and applied to colleges, but was repeatedly rejected. And one day, he was finally admitted to Nagasaki Pharmacy College in 1948, even though pharmacy was not his first choice, or let's say he had no plans of becoming a pharmacist, but that was the only option he got. Now, this was the time when he actually discovered an interest in chemistry and started to prepare to make glass capillaries and then packed those glass capillaries with alumina powder. He used these capillaries then to separate the metal ions. What he did was, he took a small amount of a mixed solutions of metallic ions and applied it to the tip of the capillary, followed by dipping it in a developing reagent. The reagent quickly rose up by capillary action, and in this process metallic ions were separated, and there were formation of colored bands which appeared corresponding to ions that were separated. Now, this was a kind of chromatography that he found. So with Professor Yusunaga's permission, he brought back some chemicals to home and studied the conditions of separation in detail at home also. The development of this chromatography method was published in the Journal of the Pharmaceutical Society of Japan in 1953. This was first of many research papers he went on to as author. He finally graduated from Nagasaki Pharmacy College in March 1951 at the top of his class. Professor Yasunaga then offered him a job as an assistant in analytical chemistry laboratory at Nagasaki University. He took the job and he worked there for 4 years continuously, and after that he obtained a leave of absence to study for a year. Moreover, it was Professor Yasunaga himself who offered him to introduce to Professor Fujio Egami of Nagoya University, a well-known molecular biologist at that time. But unfortunately, they found that Professor Egami wasn't available that day, and they ended up meeting Professor Yoshimasa Hirata, who was an organic chemist. Today, we can say that it was fortunate for him to meet Professor Hirata because the work he did there helped him in winning many awards later. He then got enrolled as a research student in the Hirata Laboratory, which was a part of Department of Science at Nagoya University, in April 1955. Professor Hirata assigned him with a seemingly impossible task. What was it? So he asked him to try to crystallize a glowing organic compound which is known as luciferin, found in Cypridina, which was a small crustacean found in the coastal waters of Japan. Professor Hirata also told that a renowned zoologist at Princeton, whose name was E. Newton Harvey, had already tried to make these crystals of luciferin for past 20 years and he has failed because it is extremely unstable and rapidly decomposes in the presence of oxygen. So, there was a huge challenge lying ahead for Shimomura. Shimomura then worked day and night, 7 days a week, to find the chemistry behind luciferin. Since luciferin was unstable to oxygen, or you can say air also, he had to work very carefully. Once he got the purified extract, he then tried to crystallize it. And he kept on trying like this for about 10 months and finally succeeded one day, but in an unexpected way. Again, what happened? So one night, what he usually used to do, he used to heat the mixture. That is what he used to do every day. But one night, instead of heating the mixture, he left the compound in the strong acid without heating. And to his surprise, next morning when he came back, he found that now that the dark red mixture has turned into a colorless transparent solution and the solute itself had crystallized in the pure red fine crystals. He was so happy about it that in his autobiography he wrote, "Since the end of the war, my life had been dark, but this gave me hope for my future." The greatest reward that he gained from this was self-confidence, and he also learned that any difficult problem can be solved only by great effort. His stay at Nagoya University was extended a year further, and he and Professor Hirata published a paper describing their findings about luciferin. This discovery caught the attention of another scientist named Dr. Frank Johnson, who in 1959 offered Shimomura a job in his laboratory. On hearing this, Professor Hirata awarded Shimomura a doctoral degree for his work in Cypridina because the doctoral degree would increase his salary at Princeton. Even though he was only enrolled as an MS student at his lab and not as a doctoral student. So, with the doctoral degree, he went to Dr. Frank Johnson. So he went to Princeton University in the US in the laboratory of Dr. Johnson, where his first brush with GFP took place. Till then, he had no encounter with GFP. There, he was tasked with extracting and purifying the luminescent material from the green glowing jellyfish Aquaria victoria. So he had to work on the green glowing jellyfish Aquaria victoria and he had to extract and purify the material which is responsible for it. For doing this, he had to collect Aquaria victoria jellyfish. So what he did was, for doing this every summer since 1961, Shimomura and his team would sail out into the Bay of Friday Harbor, San Juan Island, Washington, when the sea became thick with this jellyfish. There, they scooped up the jellyfish and then extracted the faintly glowing rings from about 10,000 of the mouse-sized jellyfish using a pair of scissors initially, and later they used a jellyfish cutting machine because the amount was huge. The light-emitting green organs were located along the margins of the umbrella of the jellyfish. So they tried to cut these out, and after cutting them out, they squashed them through a filter, and the crude was brought back to Princeton, and the protein was then purified and isolated from the glowing squeezate. Again, he had to work a very long time, but nothing worked at all. And finally, one evening, he took the sample and he threw them away in the sink, and suddenly the inside of the sink lit up with a bright blue flash. He thought that it was the presence of the seawater that had caused the luminescence, since there was an overflow in the sink from the aquarium. So as the composition of seawater was already known, he easily worked out that the activator here was calcium ions, calcium 2 plus ions. To Shimomura's surprise, it emitted blue light and not green. He succeeded in identifying the protein aquarin that produces blue light in the presence of calcium ions and confirmed that jellyfish their luminescence. So what happens inside the jellyfish? The jellyfish aquaria, it releases calcium ions which binds with the aquarin protein, causing it to have blue light or causing it to glow. However, while carrying out the task to isolate this aquarin using column chromatography, it led to the discovery of another protein by Shimomura, which he noted was exhibiting green fluorescence and not blue. He noticed that there was an elution of a trace of this protein a little sooner than aquarin. In 1962, he purified this other protein as well, and this turned out to be the green fluorescent protein, which we call as GFP, that defined his career and won him the Nobel Prize as well. This GFP was unlike most of the other light-producing proteins. Why? Because this green fluorescent protein, it turned simply green when ultraviolet light was shined on it. Whereas others, that means other proteins, they require a reaction with chemicals to go, just like we saw for aquarin. So GFP was quite different from that. After the isolation, Shimomura needed to identify the chemical makeup of the glowing protein, and for that he needed a lot of material. And for that, consecutively for the next 17 years, Shimomura continued to harvest jellyfish and scheduled to catch around 50,000 jellyfishes every summer. And the end, in total they collected about 850,000 jellyfishes. So from this great collection, Shimomura was finally able to characterize the chemical structure of the GFP chromophore and reported the fluorescence emitting structure of GFP in the journal FEBS Letters in 1979 and laid the groundwork for future discoveries. Other scientists, they later discovered the gene that produces GFP and were also able to stitch it into the DNA of other organisms. In 1994, about around 2 decades later after GFP was identified, it was successfully expressed in living organisms by Martin Chalfie and colleagues. Until then, GFP remained little known only. And it was further developed into its present prosperous stage by Roger Seen, who mutated the GFP gene to create different colors and brighten the glow of the gene. These two were the other two co-recipients of the 2008 Nobel Prize in Chemistry with Dr. Shimomura. Besides his central work on aquarin in those 17 years, that is between 1962 to 1979, he worked on the bioluminescence of various luminous organisms because he had a very fundamental question on his mind, that what is it that causes organisms to emit light? And because of his fundamental questions, he kept on working on various luminescence organisms. He worked on limpets, he worked on krill, worm, firefly squid, various coelenterates and luminous bacteria as well. In 1981, he moved to the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts as a senior scientist, which he held until his retirement in 2001. At the same time, he was also a professor emeritus at the Boston University School of Medicine. He was so enthusiastic about his research that even after his retirement, also he continued to carry out the research. He set up his own photoprotein laboratory in the basement of his home and moved all his laboratory equipment and chemicals there. Soon after, he also went on to publish 2 books for the next generation students who were interested in exploring the chemistry of bioluminescence. And the 2 books were titled, first was Bioluminescence, Chemical Principles and Methods and Luminous Pursuit, Jellyfish GFP. And the other was The Unforeseen Path to the Nobel Prize. Dr. Shimomura won a third of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 2008 for his research on aquaria jellyfish and the discovery of green fluorescent proteins. Proteins are very essential components of organisms that keep them alive. So this became very crucial for biologists to track the comings, goings and interactions of specific proteins. And here came the vital to GFP. GFP in biomolecular research labs around the world. What happens? What do we do with GFP? GFP tags a spaced out array of molecules in living systems, shedding light on the protein location as well as on fundamental biological processes such as cellular movement. For example, if we attach a GFP to a protein, the location of the GFP inside the cell can be tracked, and also how is that protein interacting with other cellular constituents can be observed with the help of this. GFP also has potential use in host pathogen interaction research. It is also injected into cells, allowing doctor to spot anomalies, which is a technology used for cancer detection and tracking the spread of cancer across the whole body. Shimomura has also received various recognition worldwide besides his Nobel Prize in Chemistry. In 2004, he received the Pierce Prize from the Royal Microscopical Society for the discovery of GFP. In 2006, he received the Asahi Prize, one of the most prestigious prizes in Japan. In 2008, he received the Order of Culture from the Emperor of Japan. He was also elected to the US National Academy of Sciences in 2012, and so on. So list goes on and on. Much later, Shimomura returned to Friday Harbor and was shaken up by looking at the aquaria jellyfish population, which had severely declined. He said that if the disappearance of the jellyfish would have occurred 19 years earlier, then they wouldn't have been able to learn the mechanism of the aquarian bioluminescence reaction. Richard Strathman, a resident scientist at the UW Friday Harbor Marine Laboratories, who knew Shimomura, said, "Shimomura's research is an example of how questions based on curiosity about the world can lead to answers with great practical benefits." Shimomura passed away at the age of 90 on October 19, 2008, due to natural causes, but his legacy in science will always be remembered. Another co-worker quoted, "Shimomura was very dedicated to science, and I'm really glad his hard work has been recognized by the world." Even though Shimomura is no more with us, but his discovery of GFP will always brighten our lives as well as the various fields of research. It revolutionized and eliminated cell biology, starting only from a mere jellyfish. Without the chemistry of GFP, the vast range of important biological applications that we are relishing today would have been completely impossible. With this, I would like to end today's session and hope we all take home some encouragement, motivation and learnings from Dr. Shimomura's work and life. Dr. Shimomura quoted, "It is important not to give up when a difficult problem is encountered. Overcoming a difficulty may reward us with a self-belief that would be more valuable than the solution to the problem." Thank you once again and have a nice day.